It's the screams you hear first. There are men and women everywhere, from all walks of life, running, hiding, some frozen into petrified stillness. This isn't a normal scene in London, but it's one that is fast becoming anticipated. 06. More carnage as I see glimpses of bodies, the walking wounded and those who have already lost the fight. One or two people are recording what they can on their phones, handsets shaking uncontrollably. There's a flash of the three targets wearing what look like very crude suicide vests, stalking more prey. The armed police close in, running fearlessly towards the fight. 06. Right now, I know that MI5 officers will be reacting to a protocol designed to put every conceivable asset on the ground within minutes. Surveillance teams already on the ground will be redeployed. Those who had just finished and were at home with their families or somewhere desperately trying to switch off will be in their cars and with the teams immediately. The intelligence officers will be briefing the teams live on the radios, no time to bring them in. The operators in the teams, not just surveillance but the technical attack teams, the office geeks within Thames House, our cousins in Vauxhall Cross and the wobbly heads in Cheltenham, would be working together with one goal in mind, to stop the killers. 06, Roger, en route. The first shots ring out, and I know from the controlled manner this is almost certainly the police firearms officers. Over the past few years, due to the huge spike in the scale of terrorist activity and their capability, the counter-terrorism unit is now, without question, the best-trained police force in the world. Tonight, just south of London Bridge, they're proving it, as the echoes of gunfire continue to bounce around the buildings, a brutal counterpoint to the screams. My lungs spasm, gasping for air, as I realise I am frozen with my phone to my ear, waiting for an update from my team leader or the operations officer back at base.